you produce results. You know, I've always told people that if you focus on results and you don't achieve them, you get discouraged. But when you focus on the right action and you consistently apply them in your life, results are almost automatic. And why do I say that? Well, you might say to yourself, well, where do I get these correct actions, these precise actions, these tools? Well, that's why this show was designed. It came out of the need that I was consistently hearing around people's needs to find out how can I quickly and rapidly, same word, but very important, to find what I'm looking for. And so every single week, what I like to do is top off the show with what I call my top two. That's right, my top two. I should have a bell, ding, to remind you that top two are the top two questions that I receive every single week. And what I want to do is, instead of you having to read through hundreds of pages of books, all you have to do is listen to the show and I summarize the top two questions. And what I've realized is that these top two questions are the same questions I hear from people that are right out of college, same questions I hear from people that are been in the workforce for 5 to 10 years. And the oldest individual I ever worked with is 72 years old, very similar questions. So shocking. You would think it's shocking, but in my experience, that's exactly what I've seen. So let's put it to the test. So two top questions I've received this week. I'm so excited to share them with you. The first one was this. It's actually a very controversial subject, and it's one where many people have different opinions, and I'm going to share my opinion based on my experience, and we'll go from there. Oh, and by the way, we will be accepting your phone calls, and the number here is ubc.citr. That's area code 604-822-2487, 604-822-2487. You call that number and see if you can get on air. I can't guarantee that you're going to get your question through, but it's called Rapid Fire. That's right. It's called Rapid Fire. It's a part of the show where you could ask me any question regarding your career. I call it Rapid Fire, and I will attempt to answer the question. I don't guarantee to answer all the questions, but heck, I'm going to give it my best shot, and I've yet to be stumped up to this point, so we'll see how it goes. How about that? I challenge you to stump me. I challenge you to stump me. Why not we call it that? Challenge to stump. That's a good one. Why not? Okay, good. So what was this first question I received? If I've accepted a position with one company and I get an offer that is better, can I back out of the first job that I accepted? Okay, so it's very straightforward. You've just accepted and you've signed a contract with an employer, and let's say 3 days later, you receive another job offer because you had put out a lot of resumes prior, and that second job offer, in your opinion, is better. What do you do? Very interestingly enough, about a year and a half ago, I had a very strong opinion in this matter, and it was very clear you must honor your first contract. In fact, the market is very, very small. It's funny how small it is. If you think the world is big, it is. But if you think of your industry in your city, it's quite tiny. And so what I want to stress is that often your name and your reputation can quickly get out there. And so my opinion was very, very clear. If you accept the position, you cannot back out of it. Have follow through with that commitment. And listen, I get the toughest questions asked in my career, in my work. How long can I stay if I have to stay? Generally, often we talk about a year. But then about a year and a half ago, I worked with a very bright individual, and he is one of the best coaches in the areas of careers that I ever worked with in my life. And he had a very different opinion. He felt that if a better offer came up, it was in your best interest and in the best interest of your family to actually accept the second offer. Now, here's the thing. If you back out of a first offer, there is no question that the first employer will not be happy with you. They will not like you. But as my colleague had said, there is a way for you to get out of the situation and them still respect you. You know, there's a big difference between people respecting you and people liking you. And in business and in looking for work you love, it's all about respect. Liking, it's less of a popularity contest. How many people have you heard say about an individual, I don't like them, and yet they'll invest their money with them, for example? Well, it's because they respect them. And so the way to deal with the situation is to deal with the first employer by saying words like, for my career, I cannot turn it down. This is a career-making decision. Or this is a decision I could not pass up for my family. And so there's two approaches. One is about your career, one is about your family. And when you word it that way, the employer tends to be a little more flexible. Now, they'll never like you because of it, but they're a little more understanding. And case in point, where I just worked, person was working for 2 months, and within 2 months, they let go, they left. And what was their answer? For my career, I couldn't refuse it. And so it's typically the way it happens. And I want to remind you of something. Many, many times, employers will let go an employee without any reason within 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 2 months, 3 months. So it happens very frequently. And often, I'd like to highlight this, many employers don't have a time frame on their contract. Why? Well, if you're no good, they don't want to keep you. They want to drop you. And if you don't like it, well, you get to leave. And it's a win-win situation. Because keep in mind, an employer doesn't want you to be there if you don't want to be there. And the employer doesn't want you to be there if they don't want you to be there. So keep in mind. So my final answer is, if a second offer comes up, you must be very delicate, very professional. Approach it from your family and career perspective. And if you have to make the decision, I do support that decision. But be prepared for the repercussions. We had an individual once, he did not turn down the first offer. He accepted the first offer, while even the second one was much better. 6 months later, that second employer told them how much they respected him for not having left the first employer. And eventually he got transferred over to the other employer because it was a better fit. So I've had many clients and individuals transfer over, and I've had many who have not. It's your decision. I think I've given you proof for making choosing on both sides, whichever one is a better fit for you, because it is a personal decision in the end. Okay, good. What's the second question that I receive most frequently? You're going to love this. I'm new in the industry. I'm just out of school, or I'm doing a career change after 10, 15 years. Can I, or am I in a position to negotiate my salary? Love the question. Love the negotiation question. And I only have one answer to that, and it's based on a study. And a study said that employers respect you 90% of the time when you negotiate your salary. In other words, if you don't negotiate your salary, an employer will tend to, 90% of them, have less respect for you. It doesn't mean they're not going to respect you, but this is what happens. If you negotiate professionally with them and you do get hired, and by the way, I spoke with we had a guest on here about a year ago, an HR consultant. I loved her answer. She worked for TELUS for 10 years, and she blatantly declared over the air that in her 10 years of work experience, never did she take away an offer because someone decided to negotiate. Now, I found that a little hard to believe because some negotiations can go sour, which I agree, and you've all had that happen. But in her 10 years, it never happened. I was shocked. So if you remain professional in your negotiations, 90% of employers will have a heightened amount of respect for you. And when you do get hired, how does that mean you're going to deal with employers in the end? Or how are you going to deal with clients? You're going to be very upfront. You're not going to be afraid to negotiate. Because if you ask all your bosses, would you like me to be in a position or to be a good negotiator with individuals? Often they're going to say, yes, I want you to be able to negotiate with suppliers. I want to be able to negotiate with clients. I want to be able to negotiate with all sorts of individuals, internal and external. So keep in mind, it's a great skill to develop. So yes, negotiate whether you're going to apply for a position in a coffee shop or for a senior management position. Why? You must practice sometimes, and you got to start now. There's never a better time to start now. Okay, good. We're doing very good time. Those are my first two, what I call my top two. We also have rapid fire process, which I will be accepting your phone calls. But here's the thing. You only call during the break, and the number is 822-2487. I'm so excited about today's show. About 3 months ago, I started sharing theories that have been coming to me, and like an artist, an incredible artist, he or she will see art and not be able to explain why they see it, but they start painting it and it just comes through them. And it's like, it doesn't come from the brain, it comes through them. Well, these theories tend to come through me, and I figured if I didn't share them with you, I would be doing a great disservice for you, the listener. And these theories, I have never, ever before heard or read in any career advancement or career management book I've ever read in my life. Now, it's possible that this information exists somewhere, but the fact that you know it is so unlikely that I must share it with you. And a lot of this has to do with the interview. And I haven't spoken about interviews in a long time, but let me tell you, the stuff I'm going to tell you now, I actually had an individual come up to me and says, don't give me the basic crap about interviews. I know I got to dress well, I got to answer questions, and I got to do these, answer this question, tell me about your weaknesses. I know all that crap. I want advanced stuff. This is the kind of client I love or individual I love working with, because they're so, they challenge me. And the best news about the challenges, and that's why I want your questions to be challenging, is the more challenging they are, the more I learn, and then the more you, the listener, learns. So it's all about creating value. Love it. Great. Here it is. Before I move actually into the interview process, I want to touch on two issues. And you hear a lot about it recently, and it's called, how big is your receiver bowl? What am I talking about? Well, I've discovered that some people are better than others at receiving gifts and compliments. I've discovered that many individuals are very good at receiving generosities from other people, whereby on some other people are very poor receivers of generosity. I then looked one step further, and I discovered that for many of the people that are able to receive more, they tend to have more abundance. Now, I'm not only talking about money, but I am talking about money. I'm talking about friendships. I'm talking about business relationships. I'm talking about receiving gifts. I'm talking about money. And so what I want to bring up right now is I would like to ask you a question. And I'd like you to answer it right away in your brain. And after I ask this question, we will then be going to break and accepting phone calls. I want to end on this incredible note. What is the value of your services for 1 year? How much are you worth per year? What is the first number that came to mind? Was it 40,000? Was it 50,000? Was it 100,000? Was it $4 million? Ask yourself and then remind yourself. And while you're thinking about that, think about this. That is how much you're going to make this year. Okay, great. We're now going to break. We will be accepting phone calls. I will see you after the break. And you're going to have an opportunity now to ask your questions. We'll be back in just a moment.
So you want to gain the freshman 15? Well, you probably will. So why not gain it ethically? Sprouts, the student-run, not-for-profit grocery store, is now open in the lower level of the UBC Student Union Building across from Travel Cuts in the Wellness Center. Sprouts is committed to providing the UBC community with healthy, locally produced, organic, and fair trade products at great prices. Sprouts will be open from 9:30 to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. So you want to tag a ride on the sustainable gravy train? Sprouts is now looking for volunteers to help out with tabling, outreach, and at the storefront. So just drop by and pick up your application.
I got a dog.
You are listening to Career Fast Track on 101.9 FM in Vancouver or on the internet at www.citr.ca, where you click Listen Live, a show specifically designed to educate and inspire you to land your dream job. We have a caller who just called in, has an important question to ask about their careers, and so they dialed 822-2487, and so we have a caller here. Let me put them on air here. Hi there, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. What's your name?
My name is Paul.
Paul, okay, good to have you. You an avid listener of the show? Say yes.
Yes.
Good to hear. I love it that you're always listening to the show. Good.
Yes.
So the premise of the show is called a rapid fire. You get to ask any career-related question that you want to ask.
Okay.
And have I ever spoken to you before? Have I ever asked this question for you before?
No.
Okay, I don't know this question.
That's right.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
What's your question?
Yeah, well, my situation is I've been out of the job market for a while. I've been, running my own business on and off with a couple of different ideas, made a little bit of money and not, and I've kind of had it with that, and I just want to sort of go back to, get a job somewhere and, work with somebody. We'll partner up with some people and create something with them. And in the conversation, as I get to know people or apply for jobs or something, I'm just worried that, having a sort of a gap on my resume, or they sort of say, what have you been doing for a little while, that it's gonna not be all that powerful or something, or that I because I haven't worked for a while, it's like I'm out of the loop. So I guess how do I handle that in terms of the conversations I have with people? How do I handle that with my application and with my resume?
Wonderful. Very, very good question. Mm-hmm. Before I gander an answer to your question. Mm-hmm. I never like assuming anything that I don't know.
Okay.
So my question to you is this. Are you wanting to get involved in the workforce because you no longer want to run your own business, or because you actually want to run your own business, but you have no choice but to do the job? Do you understand my question?
Oh, okay, yeah. Am I out of money? Is that your question?
You're out of money. Or are you giving up on your business? That's my question.
Well, I'm not. But it's just it would be more fun and more interesting to work with more people at in some sort of bigger organization. I feel like I want to work with people and create something with people right now, as opposed to pursuing my dream, the dream of having my own business. It would be like perhaps that would come through working with other people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So yeah. My question now is a yes or no question. So will you have any resentment if you start working in a position for a company?
No.
Wonderful. Okay, good. Did you know that you can treat work you've done as a self-employed individual identically to as if you've worked for another company?
Really?
So on your resume, under work experience,
yeah,
you're going to write the name of your company, and you're going to give yourself the title of whatever you had, if you had president, if you had owner, if whatever it was, and you then list the skills that you developed. The number one, Paul, I've never seen so many people make this error. I had an individual recently, he worked for his uncle running a copy company in the city. He's so successful in his business, but he says, I worked for my uncle. I worked in a business. It's not the same.
Uh-huh.
Well, he finally got it through his thick head that it was as if he pretended it was as a job, and he wrote it down as if it was a position, and he just landed his dream job as a CA with a CA firm to be an articling student, which was his dream job. It took him about a year to get it, but when he finally got it, he was able to do that. So can you do that on your resume, treat your self-employment work as if it was a position?
Yeah. Okay. I see. So put on things like, designed a business plan for, accessing a new market sphere, that kind of thing.
Yes. And I'm going to challenge you, Paul, to shift from a sales focus.
Yeah.
Because now every time someone asks you what you do, what are you doing? You're automatically focused on sales, right?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, because you're running a business.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
But from now on, what I want you to focus on is your skills. So what skills did you develop while being self-employed? And it's skills that employers buy.
Oh, okay, so the ability to, it was sales, though.
It was sales,
yeah,
absolutely.
So there's a lot of sales.
But my question is this, do you want to actually get into sales?
No, but client conversations are really good. Like, I want to deliver. I'm a technical guy, and I like delivering technical things to customers and being able to figure out what they want in a very meticulous sort of technical sense.
I love it, and I'm getting the sense that you're a very detailed kind of guy.
Right.
You're gonna love this story. This will probably change your life forever. I never believe this. There's an individual. She wanted to be a project manager. And her past job, she didn't even have the title of project manager, and about 20% of her job was project management. And she wanted to work for Creo, which was just bought out by Kodak, mm-hmm. and the title was project manager, and 100% of the job was project manager.
Mm-hmm.
She did something I thought was illegal. She blew up 20% of her job in her previous job and made it 80% of the real estate on her resume and focused only on project management. Are you with me so far?
Okay.
She got the job.
Okay.
So if you spent a fraction of your time doing this technical stuff, the detailed stuff, you can literally blow it up and make it a major part of your resume.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I got it. So I identified client problems related to the technical area that I want to get into. Did research on it in the ongoing technical journals. Interviewed leaders in the field to find out cutting edge systems and technology to deal with these issues. Designed custom made solutions for those people. And delivered value to customers beyond their expectations, that kind of stuff.
Well, what I want to bring the highlight right now is you probably don't know what you've just done, but I want to highlight it for the listener, is that you've just done one thing that is the critical The most critical component of every sentence in a resume is that it must start with an effective verb.
Mm.
And your statements were littered with verbs.
Mm.
So the second component, so I want you to continue to start all your sentences with verbs.
Mm.
And actually, I'm really glad this came up because this was an issue I was going to cover right after this call, so it's already being taken care of. The other thing is, I challenge you, every single sentence in your resume, put in a number.
Oh.
Well, I have individuals say, well, how am I going to get a number? If you dealt with inventory, if it was worth $1,000, write the word 1,000. If you dealt with two clients, dealt with two clients. If you dealt with four suppliers, write four suppliers.
Mm.
The minute you add a number and an effective verb, the reader can visualize what you did on the job, and they're more likely to want to meet you for an interview. Does that make sense?
It's surprising. I hear what you're saying, but that's surprising. I guess it just makes it concrete. Is that what you're saying?
It's all about... Have you ever heard the greatest speakers in the world are able to tell great stories?
Yeah, sure, yeah. That's what we learn best through stories, right?
We learn best. But why stories?
Okay. So I put stories on my resume.
Yes!
Verbs and numbers.
That's it. Okay. That's the story. They're mini stories.
Okay.
And if you have one mini story after another, then you're a really, really effective resume writer. Does that sound good?
I got it.
Was that help?
Yeah, very much. Well, thanks very much, Philip. Well,
nice to hear from you, Paul. Continue to listen, and we look forward to your calls.
All right.
You take care.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, that was Paul. Wonderful question. Thanks for the call. Notice when you call up the show, you get your answers to some of your most difficult questions. Notice on the air, we don't talk much about self-employment, and yet we were able to address the issue. So keep them coming. Good. It's called Rapid Fire. Challenge the show. Challenge us. Keep it coming. Now, we have about 9 minutes left on the show. What I want to address are interview skills, but not tips that you've heard everywhere else, but advanced stuff. This is the stuff that gets me all excited. Okay. Pre-clobber. Raymond Aron was continues to be a mentor in my life, and he taught me about pre-clobbering an objection. Let me explain. If you're really bad in English, or you have a glaring error in your resume, or you have a glaring gap in your application, if you get an interview, you already have the job. Did you know that an interview is not to get the job, it's actually to lose it? Because in essence, think about it. Anybody who gets an interview has already got the job. Now they want to meet you. And it's those who don't get it or lose the job. It's the one who doesn't lose it that gets the job. Does that make sense? And so if you have a glaring error in your history, what my mentor taught me and I now use frequently is to pre-clobber it, which means early in the interview, you want to highlight the weakness. So you might say, well, for example, you might notice that my English is a little weaker than other candidates. But I have noticed that in the past, it's never been a barrier to being productive and successful on the job. Notice you've identified it and converted it to a positive. I challenge you to pre-clobber all your weaknesses. Now, there is a disadvantage. If you pre-clobber it, that means you bring it, you bring light to it. So unless it's a glaring, if it's glaring, pre-clobber it. If it's not glaring, don't do it. Maybe it won't come up. But if it's always a barrier, I see it so often, I get so nervous, there's a perfect one. If you get so nervous, you clam up and you can't express yourself, pre-clobber the damn thing. Beginning of the interview, say, listen, sometimes during interviews, I get really nervous and I forget to tell you about my past experience. I'm excited to be here, but I just wanted to let you know. They're like, oh, great. So they'll understand. Does that make sense? Good. Pre-clobber, great technique. Another thing, it's based on neuro-linguistic programming, which is a form of technology to connect with individuals and build relationship, build rapport. One of them is matching. In other words, body physiology. If you match the body posture of the interviewer, they are more likely to like you. If you match their body postures, they are more likely to like you. So, for example, if they lean back and cross their legs, you lean back and cross their legs. If they lean forward and put their arm on the table, you lean forward and put their arm on the table. If they tilt their head to the left, you tilt your head to your left. Does that make sense? And you mirror them. And if you do that, you're more likely to create rapport. And if you are observant, you might realize that with your friends, you are naturally doing that. And that's one of the reasons why naturally they are your friends. So continue to match as we go along there. Good. We are about to go to our final break, and during the break, you may call in the show and ask for any particular questions. Otherwise, we'll see you in just a moment. We'll be back with final fascinating interview tips.
So you want to gain the freshman 15? Well, you probably will. So why not gain it ethically? Sprouts, the student-run, not-for-profit grocery store, is now open in the lower level of the UBC Student Union Building across from Travel Cuts in the Wellness Center. Sprouts is committed to providing the UBC community with healthy, locally produced, organic, and fair trade products at great prices. Sprouts will be open from 9:30 to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. So you want to tag a ride on the sustainable gravy train? Sprouts is now looking for volunteers to help out with tabling, outreach, and at the storefront. So just drop by and pick up your application.
I got a job.
We are back, and you're listening to Career Fast Track on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver or on the internet at www.citr.ca, a show specifically designed to ensure that you land your dream job. And we're committed to transferring practical key tips over, and I open up the air to phone calls, and we have a caller. Let me put him on air here. Hi, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, good to hear from you. So you have a question for us.
I do.
Wonderful. What's your name, by the way?
My name's Joe.
Joe, nice to hear from you. What's your question?
So I recently got fired from a job that I really love, and have recently got another job abroad, getting a job basically in the Bahamas with Club Med. Now, I just basically would like some advice. Is this something, you know, when you leave something that you're passionate about and you go to a new job, is it something good, or are you just kind of taking whatever's there?
Okay, so I got that you liked your old job and you were fired and you would have liked to stay at the old job.
Yeah, I basically worked in film.
Okay, got it. Okay, I understand. Do you like your new job?
I don't know. I haven't been there yet. I'd be DJing in the Bahamas.
Oh, interesting. Do you want to do this position in the Bahamas?
It seems like it would be a great opportunity. I just feel like I'm just kind of unsure about it right now.
So am I sensing that you would have should you have waited out to find another position in film?
Well, basically, I was in the camera trainee program, and I got fired for a really ridiculous reason.
Okay. Did you want to... So is your concern that should you have looked for a career and stayed in the film industry?
Yeah.
So your fear is that if you leave the industry, you're going to become stale and not be able to get back into it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, got it. Okay, cool. Have you ever considered... Are you going to gain any different skills in the Bahamas?
Probably not.
Any new skills? Why did you take the position?
Pardon me?
Why did you take the position in the Bahamas?
Because it's Bahamas.
Okay, so an opportunity for you to get out there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
It's like a paid vacation, pretty much.
Okay, I want to tell you something. A speaker from McGill University came into Vancouver recently, and he shared a story called How to Make Successful Mistakes. And he talked about a story about, have you ever heard of nitroglycerin?
Yeah.
It was first designed as a bomb. But now it's actually, they could not do heart transplants without it. And so while this was seemingly a mistake, they discovered this thing to make bombs, which was a mistake. Actually, it was a mistake. It's now used as a major advantage. Let me ask you, what advantage will you get out of going to the Bahamas?
I could become a better DJ.
Is that something that you want to do?
Yeah, I enjoy it.
You know, it sounds like that there's a couple pluses going to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Okay,
I feel like if I stay, if I don't go, or if I do go, that I won't. I basically run a small company here myself, doing music videos and that kind of thing as well. And I feel like I'll be out of the loop if I go away for too long. You know what I mean?
How long are you gone for?
6 months.
6 months. Can you? Do you have emails for contacts back here?
Yeah.
Okay. There's this technique. I love it. What you do is you send articles of interest. You go to the internet. This is a fantastic approach. You check out articles that might be of interest to the person that you want to network with, and you send them those articles. So you might hook up with this guy, say, I read this great article on the internet, thought you might be interested, and do that. You actually do that every 2 months. So you do it 3 times over the 6 month period. Do you think you could do that?
I can totally do that.
I love it. Someone did it with me, and I was like so impressed because I kept telling people to do it. When they did it with me, I was like shocked. I'm like, you got to keep doing this.
No, that's good. I like that.
You want to try that?
Yeah.
Okay, listen, we're out of time, but thanks for the call.
Thank you very much.
Joe, good luck.
Hey, thanks.
Later. Okay, we're back. And so we have 1 minute left. So we had We're taking your phone calls, and so what we're going to have to do is next week cover these remaining amazing tips on helping you find your dream job, and in fact, through the interview process. So you've been listening to Career Fast Track on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, a show specifically designed to help you find work you love, make some serious coin, and be unstoppable.
Right to Play is an international humanitarian organization using sport and play programs to encourage the healthy physical, social, and emotional development of the world's most disadvantaged children. RTP at UBC is run by a team of committed university students who advocate sport for development, and it is the first university